Shut up and sit down.
Welcome to the Rethinking Football Podcast, where we discuss player development with players, world-renowned scouts, professional football academy directors, coaches, and others. We will use Spain's model and compare it to other national governing bodies in other countries. At the end of each podcast, we will update our theory of change to improve player development worldwide using indicators, best practices, and our own research, along with the opinions and expertise of our guests. Soccer Hall of Fame inductee Hugo Perez is a legend and a true agent of change. Perez was part of the generation that influenced tens of thousands of football lovers in the U.S. Perez was born in El Salvador and grew up in Southern California. During his 14-year career as a professional footballer, Perez earned 73 national caps, including the Olympic squad. He was a member of the 1994 U.S. World Cup team and was a starter in the unforgettable round of 16 match against Brazil. He also had a chance to train under the tutelage of Johan Cruyff at Ajax. As a coach, Perez has been credited as the architect of the most talented U.S. youth national team in history. The graduates from his U.S. U15 boys national squads between 2012 and 2014 represent some of the players that can potentially shape the future of the USMNT, including Christian Pulisic, Andrew Carlton, Josh Perez, Tyler Adams, Lucas Del Rosario, and Jose Carranza. He also brought Jonathan Gonzalez to the U.S. national team program. Perez talks about solutions that can improve talent scouting, player development, and coaching education.
This is part two of a three-part series with Hugo Perez. Positive mental attitude is the philosophy that having an optimistic disposition in every situation in one's life attracts positive changes and increases achievement. Adherents employ a state of mind that continues to seek, find, and execute ways to win, or find a desirable outcome, regardless of the circumstances. It opposes negativity, defeatism, and hopelessness. Optimism and hope are vital to the development of PMA. A study of Major League Baseball players indicated that a key component that separates Major League players from the minor leagues and all other levels is their ability to develop mental characteristics and mental skills. Among them were mental toughness, confidence, maintaining a positive attitude, dealing with failure, expectations, and positive self-talk. It's reasonable to conclude that PMA plays a crucial role in the success of an athlete. And that is as important as physical attributes, understanding of the game, and sports intelligence. In this episode, we will discuss the importance of positive mental attitude for American players hoping to succeed in European leagues, and how PMA is instrumental in developing higher-level players. Today, we're back with Hugo Perez. Hugo, you were fortunate to train with one of the masters in the history of the sport, Johan Cruyff, who, of course, is one of the people who helped define modern football as we know it today. Can you tell us a bit about your experience training under his tutelage and what you learned from that experience?
Obviously, I saw him play with Ajax in Holland. I still remember the World Cup '74. He was already a coach playing the game. That's how ahead he was as a coach. Even though at that time, you know, he was still playing, but he was already. Then I saw him here in the NASL when he came here to America. Now, you look at him, obviously, technique was amazing. Vision, amazing. Creativity, amazing. And if we talk about as a fan to come and see him play, he entertained you. Okay. Then I had the opportunity to go to Ajax and do preseason with Ajax. He was a coach there at that time. The way he taught football, it wasn't only about coaching, it was about teaching. I was 24 years old when I went there. And I always tell this story I was in a training session, and we were doing, I think, some possession. And I got the ball from one side to the middle, and then I switched the ball to the outside. And he stopped the play. And he told me, that's not a good pass. Now, my pass was perfect to the player that I played the ball to. But he stopped me and said, that's not a good pass. And I said, Coach, why? And he said, look, if you play in Europe and you make that pass, he said, you're giving the ball to your teammate in a disadvantaged situation. And nobody had ever said that to me. Okay? And then he went on to say, the reason is because the pass you made, it took too long to come down to the player, even though it was a good pass, he said. But by the time he got it, he had somebody in front of him. Now, if you make that same pass, but with a different speed in the ball, then the advantage is for the one who receives the ball. And you know what? It's true. It's true. Because in Europe, players are faster sometimes. Okay? The intensity is faster. Now, we're talking about the 80s right now. We're not talking about the 2000 right now. Now, when I look at that, for me, that's called teaching. For me, that's fixing something on a player that is already was a professional to make him better. That's teaching. Because it's a very simple thing that he just said that makes a difference when you give the ball to somebody to go forward. And all the time that I was there, he was a teacher. I mean, his philosophy on how players should play, the position where they should play, the advantages of playing that way were huge. I've never had anybody in a short period of time that I learned a lot from than him. He was amazing. And I know I say this because I lived it personally. Now I read it from players that played for him in Barcelona on national team. He was a genius. But those are the type of players and type of coaches that you don't see too often. Okay? And I think, again, I don't put anybody down in this country. Okay? But sometimes we have to be real. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need teachers like that. And there's nothing wrong with thinking that we should bring somebody like that. But sometimes I feel here we're very insecure. When we bring somebody or we want to bring somebody, we're afraid that the first thing is going to happen, oh, they're going to fire us. No, we don't want that person. Or we don't want that type of coach or, you know. Yeah, we don't want that type of coach to come here and teach us that, you know. We're very insecure, and I think we should not be that way. You know, I left you, to be honest, I left USA when I was playing because I wanted to test myself in Europe if I could play. That's why I left America and went to play in Europe a couple of years, because I wanted to test myself. I wasn't afraid to fail, because I always thought that, okay, if I'm good enough, I got to test myself. And as a coach now, I do the same thing. I learn a lot from all the coaches, but there are some coaches that I really pay attention because they teach me a lot, and I'm still learning. Okay, but I'm still open. I'm not afraid to bring somebody else that is big, better than I am. I think it's an advantage. I can learn more, and I think we should be open to that. But I think in our country we are afraid of that. We are afraid of that change, and that's why it's difficult. But Johan was for me. Somebody that I met that I felt taught me so much, and that's why I have this passion for it. You know, I was the type of player. I mean, I lasted in, you know, in preseason at a time when you used to go to Europe as an American. People didn't believe that American had good players. But when I got there, you look at me, you realize. And I know how it is, you know, you send somebody there, and the first 3 days, if he doesn't do well, and he's not good, they'll tell you to go home. Okay? They won't play around. I was there, I arrived there, they were in preseason. By the second day, he said he needs to stay. Okay? And I was there almost 3 weeks. I couldn't get a work permit. That's why I didn't sign what I accepted at that time. But he wanted to sign me. But my point is, with him, now that I coach a little bit, I realize that his football, his mentality, his preparation, the way he sees football, is the way I love football. And the things that I saw from him at that time, I've learned so much through the years. And I still have them. You know, I still think that he, for me, he's the best coach I've had in such a short time.
That's wonderful. What a great story. I think you touched on something that's really important. It's the difference in culture around the game in Spain and in other countries versus here in the U.S. Can you talk a bit more about that?
Let's speak about the culture. You have a 17-year-old that goes to Europe. Mom and dad are not there. You live in a place that is not as comfortable as home. Sometimes the language is an issue. You know, the things that you have here at home, you don't have them over there. There's so many things that really are difficult, but the ones that do make it, the ones that do succeed are the ones that mentally have put those things aside and they are just thinking about making it to the first team and being a professional player. Because at the end, it all comes down to the mental part. They have the ability, they have the talent to play overseas, but the mental part of enduring those things, you know, those things that are not comfortable for them, are the ones that either make you come back or mentally you overpass that and you fight it and you get used to it, to another different type of life over there in Europe, and then you make it. But it comes down to the mental part and how much hungry our players are to succeed.
Right. You brought Jonathan Gonzalez to the U.S. team. What did you see in him?
I signed him the technical part. I signed him the IQ, his IQ of football. I signed him the hunger he had to become a professional player. I signed him how hard worker he was, very young but very mature, very respectful, always with the idea of learning. But I also felt that his technical qualities and the way he saw football were a big part of why we selected him for our youth national team.
So it sounds like what he had was the tools, but also the attitude and the mental acuity approach to managing play his own development. Was that true?
Yeah, he had that, and obviously he had also, I think I mentioned it before, he went to Mexico at a young age, left his family, left everything here. And we knew when we saw him that he had the potential to become a professional player. But at the end, when kids go at an early age to another country, the biggest obstacle would always going to be, can they adjust to the type of life outside the U.S. to make it? And that's always going to be the question. Not only is he good technically, is he good, you know, physically, all those things, but at the end is the mental factor that really takes in when they leave their comfort home and go to a country where they're going to have to fight for a spot every day. And he had that. He had the hunger to do that. And that's why I'm not surprised he is in Mexico right now, because he had all those tools, and he was lucky enough, and I'll be honest with you, he was lucky enough to go into a club and to play for a coach that believes in that type of player. That's the other key. He found a coach that's there, which is an Argentinian guy, likes those type of players. And obviously, you know, he saw Jonathan for a couple of tournaments or a league for two years or a year and a half, I think he was following him, and he felt that even though he was young, he had the tools to play in that team, and that team is a difficult team to break into because you have a lot of foreigners there.
We will continue our conversation with Hugo Perez after this.
If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to subscribe. Visit our website at www.prospectss.com. That's prospectsss.com. And follow us on Twitter at RethinkingF. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to subscribe. Visit our website at www.prospectsss.com. That's prospectsss.com. And follow us on Twitter at RethinkingF.
Let's talk a bit about kids in the U.S. who have dual citizenship both here and in Mexico, and how a lot of those players are being recruited to come to Mexico. Why are they getting the attention of the coaches in Mexico and not getting that same attention here in the U.S.?
Because I think a lot has to do with whoever is in charge of our national teams here. I've always said this. When you're coaching a national team, every coach has an idea of what type of players he wants to pick, what type of style he wants to play, and what type of system he thinks he can play. But it all comes down to the taste of the players. It all comes down to what type of players you like. It's always been an issue here, obviously, because we don't have too many Latino coaches in this country at the youth level. I'm talking about national team youth level. You know, we have English people, we have Dutch, we have, you know, Europeans. But at the end, we have Americans. But at the end, I always feel that the Latino player has a disadvantage because we don't have too many Latino coaches that believe in a certain style of soccer, and that obviously affects who you're going to pick. Now, not every Latino player can play in a national team. We know that. Sometimes people get confused with that. But when I'm talking about Latino players that are talented, that are technical, that culture-wise are a soccer family, I think those are the ones that I feel we need to pay more attention to it. But it's going to require the people who work at U.S. Soccer to be able to have that vision, okay? Because the players that have a dual citizenship, but they were born here, whether we like it or not, their roots are either Mexican or Central American, okay? And their parents are always going to dream about their kids playing for the country where the parents are from. At the end, they have to make a choice, but we need to make it hard for example, Mexico, to take our players away. And the only way we can do it is by having more connections with the Hispanic community, with the culture, and obviously having coaches that like those type of players. Because at the end, that's what it comes down to. If I like a Hispanic player who's technical, who can help me on a program that I have or the idea that I have that I want to build upon for our national teams and a style of football, then I have to pay a lot of attention to that. And it not only has to be on the soccer side, it also has to be in reaching out and making sure that we can work with those people and understand them, who they are, where they're coming from. And that will give us at least the advantage to be able to say, we want this player, we want you to be with us. We feel that if you come with us, we have this, and we can help in this. Because sometimes it does come down to that. Because, you know, Mexico has a good program, okay? But the disadvantage of Mexico is that our players are here in this country, okay? So we could have a better relationship with them than the ones in Mexico, but Mexico has done a good job in having good relationships with them here, even though Mexican Federation doesn't have anything to do here, but they've had some people that have contacts with them, and you know, they've been able to obviously convince those players that have dual citizenship to be able to go to Mexico and play. So I think it's a matter of having the right people reaching out, and also having the right people who are coaching that they do like those type of players and that they want to choose those type of players.
Right. And this happens in Spain and Germany and France with immigrant children. But the Latin style player is an asset worldwide, wouldn't you say? And that good players can come from or can play anywhere, any style. Correct?
I feel that any player who's technical and talented, he can play in any style. But the difference that he makes from somebody who's not is that it gives you more weapons. When you bring somebody like that to a team and you surround them with the right personnel of players, then we can think about, you know, I would say developing a style that fits. Everybody speaks about that in the U.S. we don't have a style. And the reason we don't, people say, is because there's so many different cultures in this country. But for example, I agree to a certain point, but I also disagree because if I bring players that I feel can play a certain style, then that's going to be my style in the national team. So if I bring players that are physical and athletic and they are less talented and not creative, then I'm going to play a style that is more direct football, a style that is probably more physical. But if I'm a type of coach that I like technical players, then I'm going to bring technical players that would help me to play a style with a more possession-orientated football, more creative, you know, more all my players from the back to the front getting involved more with the ball. That's how I'm going to create a style. I do believe if I get Germans descendants, Asian descendants, Hispanic descendants, but all of them have what I'm looking for, which is the technical part, I can blend them. I can play good football with them. But it has to do with me as a coach and the way I think.
But Spain has many different approaches too. You know, they have the Basque country. Players are different there than they are like in Valencia or other regions. And they manage to make it work and to address these different differences in play. So why is it different there versus here in the United States, where it seems that, you know, that maybe we're not, there's a single approach, single style of play?
Well, because look, in Spain, you mentioned this, you know, there's different clubs in Spain. But when you look at the national team, all those players that are being picked from different clubs have something in common. All right, they can play a certain way with their clubs or a certain style, but their foundation is I would say the majority of their foundation as a player is the technical part. And when you bring them to the Spanish national team and you look at how the Spanish national team staff works and who they are, youth national teams and the senior national teams, they have the same vision and philosophy of the type of players they want to choose for the Spanish national teams. And the base of that is creativity, is the technical part, okay? So all of them are in sync with that. I think that's part of the big base for the Spanish national teams, is the technical part and the creativity part. Now you have, again, players that come from different clubs, but they all possess that. And the coaches, when they the players who are being picked by the staff of the Spanish national team, they believe in that philosophy. And that's why you see them when they come to the national team, they can all perform because they have something in common, which is creativity and the technical part. And some of them could be technical in one way, technical in another way, but they all have that foundation, which is required to play in a certain style the way the Spaniard national team does. But the coaches are a big influence. All of them believe in that football. And that's why I think they've been able to be successful. And that's why I think here, we still haven't gotten to the point where we could be successful in that way, because we have different coaches here that look at football differently within our national team programs.
So skill really trumps style, because good players can play any style, and it trumps size. It really boils down to skill.
Well, the most difficult style to play is the style that you have to possess the ball a lot, that you have to be involved with the ball a lot, that every player in any position has to have the ability to handle the ball. That's the hardest style to play. The easiest one is the one where players don't get involved too much, or they just get the ball and they punt it. They don't want anything to do with, you know, creativity. They don't want anything to do with having the responsibility of starting a play or developing a play or creating a play. You know, it's easier just to get the ball and punt it, and there's no risk of losing it. But the other style is different. You need the players to have the capacity to be able to dominate and control the ball, and that's the technical part. That's the most difficult one.
Thank you, Hugo. Join us next time for part 3 of our conversation with Hugo Perez.
To access the transcript of this podcast and other archives, please visit our website, www.prospectsss.com, and click on podcasts. That is prospectsss.com. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe to get the latest episode directly to your device. This episode is brought to you by PSS International Academy. Research shows that in sports, the one thing that works and makes lower performing players better is immersion. To learn about our programs and how you can play federated football in Spain, visit prospectsss.com and click on International Academies. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at RethinkingF. Rethinking Football's theme song, Actionable, is courtesy of bensound.com.